some lucky night, he may come back again, but until then, I'm traveling light. I'm a traveling light. I'm a traveling light. I'm a traveling
O'Day, Travelling Light in 1961. Jazz record requests were presented by Alan Shipton. BBC Radio 3, 6 o'clock, time now for Jazz Lineup, presented this week by Julian Joseph.
Hello. On today's programme, the second instalment of concert music by ECM recording artists Quercus, featuring the voice of folk legend June Tabor, saxophonist Ian Ballamy and pianist Hugh Warren.
Gave him my heart, but you wanted my soul. But don't think twice, it's all right.
And stay tuned for that performance later on the show, featuring repertoire by Antonio Carlos Jobim and Bob Dylan. Also coming up, music from the Mingus Big Band and Gil Evans. But to get things started, here's a recording featuring a drummer who has the endorsement and friendship of both producer Quincy Jones and drummer Jimmy Cobb, whom he cites as mentors. His name is Ollie Howell and has quite a story, as it was the journey through discovery and recovery from a brain malformation that set in motion the results we hear on his album called Sutures and Stitches. Out on Worldwind Recordings, this is Later On. Later on, from drummer Ollie Howell, with Duncan Eagles on tenor, Mark Perry on trumpet, Matt Robinson on piano, and Max Luthert on bass. The album is called Sutures and Stitches and out now on the Whirlwind Recordings label. And Ollie is touring across the UK, including dates at the Fleece Jazz in Colchester on the 25th of October, Jazz in the Round at the Cockpit Theatre in London on the 28th of October, and Dempsey's Jazz Club in Cardiff on the 29th of October. And for more info on Ollie and those dates, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup webpage via the Radio 3 website. Also on the webpage, look out for info on a very special Jazz Lineup recording happening at the Seven Oaks School in Kent, featuring Australian trumpeter James Morrison and the BBC Big Band, which is being recorded on November the 6th. Now we move to a project originally formed as a cultural exchange between Croatia and Europe that has given birth to the Jazz Extempore Orchestra. Croatian guitarist Elvis Stanic, British pianist Andrea Vicari, Rico Dugir from Holland is on bass, and Hristo Yotsov from Bulgaria completes the core ensemble that now release their second album on 33 Records. Called East and West, the Jazz Extempore Orchestra are interested in combining Eastern folk elements with the West of a traditional and contemporary jazz sound. Featuring the vocals of Medina Mektiva, this is Sari Gelin.
Sari gelin, saçın ucuna
Sari Gelin from the Jazz Extempore Orchestra, and a traditional song arranged for the band by the pianist Andrea Vicari. Elvis Stanich took the guitar solo, displaying his admiration for Pat Metheny, but can certainly solo from many different points of view. The album is called East and West and out now on 33 Records. And if you like what you hear, Jazz Extempore are on tour this month and include appearances at the 606 Jazz Club in London on the 22nd of October, the Cask Inn in Scarborough on the 23rd of October, Nottingham Jazz Steps at the Bonington Theatre on the 24th, and jazz at the Rook Lane Chapel in Frome, Somerset on the 26th of October. And for more info on those and other dates on their tour, check out the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. Warner Jazz have been delving into the back catalogue and re-releasing a diverse range of great music. And this week we bring your attention to big band maestro and arranger extraordinaire Gil Evans and his album Svengali. Recorded live at Trinity Church, New York in 1973, the album features a big band that could boast the membership of innovative trumpeter Marvin Hannibal Peterson, caustic and attractive tenor of Billy Harper, the unique Howard Johnson on tuba, and alto sax superstar David Sanborn. Evans experiments with the written and unwritten improvised arrangement concept during this period, and this recording captures the band on good form. Here are two pieces from the album, a version of Miles Davis's 11, followed by Gil's recognizable arrangement of Summertime, featuring guitarist Ted Dunbar. Thank you. Gil Evans' Summertime featuring Ted Dunbar on guitar. And before that, we heard 11 from the Warner Jazz release of Svengali, which incidentally is an anagram of Gil Evans. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, from a great Svengali in a large ensemble to a small ensemble of three for our concert set highlights. And we return to a concert recorded at Brecon Cathedral as part of this year's Brecon Jazz Festival on the 11th of August 2013. You may have already heard the first installment of music broadcast a few weeks ago, starring the ECM trio Quercus, and they are vocalist June Tabor, saxophonist Ian Ballamy, and pianist Hugh Warren. Their set includes music penned by folk poet and music icon Bob Dylan, and the band opened this segment of the set with their reading of Antonio Carlos Jobim's beautiful ballad of regret, How Insensitive.
Thank you.
lines drawn inside. I see it still. Hold your heart taking that last look. Why you must have asked, did I just turn and stare? To do what can you do when a love affair is to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. Ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, it don't matter anyhow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window, I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's alright. My heart, but you wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's all right. Many years ago, Hugh and I were doing a concert at the Arts Centre, the Acorn in Penzance, and we'd done a number of songs like the one you've just heard, and we were about to play the last song, and someone from the back shouted out in a rather despairing voice, "Don't you know any songs about love gone right?" To which we replied, "Yes, of course we do." And here it is. Always This isn't maybe, this is always, this is love, the real beginning of forever. This isn't just midsummer.
ECM recording artist Quercus, This Is Always, composed by pianist Hugh Warren, ending tonight's concert set highlights recorded at Brecon Cathedral as part of this year's Brecon Jazz Festival. And for all the titles played on tonight's show, check out the jazz lineup page on the Radio 3 website. And also worth checking out are our photo galleries, including pictures from the Brecon Jazz Festival, and our videos featuring new generation jazz artist Trish Clues in conversation with some of her musical heroes. And exciting news for jazz fans, as it's just about the time of year for the Cork Jazz Festival that runs from Friday the 25th to Monday the 28th of October. The festival lineup features more out-and-out pop and rock music headliners, but there are still some jazz-related acts, including Courtney Pine, Portico Quartet, Billy Cobham, Snarky Puppy, Berkeley Global Jazz Ensemble, and for more details on these and others performing at the festival, check out the link on the jazz lineup webpage. Well, that's almost the end of the show, but remember, plenty more jazz with Jazz on 3 on Monday nights at 11. This week, Jez has music from the Fête Kwa Kwa Free Improv Festival. And on next week's jazz lineup, Kevin Legendre unearths another classic album for our Now's the Time feature. And there's concert music from emerging talent trumpeter Laura Jerd and her quartet. To sign off with tonight, an inspiring ensemble keeping the music and flame of their composer and maestro burning. Yes, it's the Mingus Big Band. Playing the rich and moving music of the late, great Charles Mingus, they come to the UK to play a string of dates, including Ronnie Scott's Club in London on October the 21st and 22nd, and also the Cork Jazz Festival in Ireland on October the 25th. From the album I Am Three, this is the Mingus Big Band with Song with Orange. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
Was the Charles Mingus Big Band with Song with Orange, ending this week's jazz lineup. The programme was presented by Julian Joseph. And for more information on jazz lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. Jazz lineup will be back next Saturday evening at the same time, 6 o'clock. BBC Radio 3, it's 6:45. Time now for Opera on 3 from the Grand Theatre in Leeds. It's presented by Louise Fryer.
This year not only marks the centenary of Benjamin Britten's birth, but it's also 40 years since the premiere at Snape Maltings of his final opera, Death in Venice, directed in 1973 by Colin Graham. We'll be hearing more about that first production during the interval, together with a Radio 3 opera guide that, as with all our anniversary composers this year, is accompanying each broadcast and is available for you to download from the Radio 3 website. And that's also where you'll find a synopsis and photographs of this production, directed by Yoshi Oida for Opera North at the Grand Opera House in Leeds, conducted by Richard Farnes. Martin Vetges is the chorus master, and the orchestra of Opera North is led by David Greed. Alan Oak takes the role of Gustav von Aschenbach, the central character of Thomas Mann's novella on which the opera is based, 2013 marking the centenary not only of Benjamin Britten's birth, but also of the publication of Thomas Mann's tale written the previous year. The ageing Aschenbach, suffering from some kind of writer's block, leaves his native Germany to take a rare holiday, staying at the Hôtel des Bains on the Lido in Venice, where he becomes obsessed with Tadzio, a Polish boy on the verge of adolescence whom he admires from afar. Directing this revival is Rob Keeley, and I suggested to him that this rather sensitive subject has become very topical.
It has, and I think we're very quick, both with Grimes and with Death in Venice, to go that full way and insist that it's a paedophilic story. Now, it may be, it may be not, but I think if one grabs onto that too quickly, you miss the story of this human being coming to terms with his own humanity, coming to terms with the struggles within himself. And I think that the paedophilia, to me, whether it's there or not, is secondary compared to the study of this human being.
Well, the study is played out on a simple stage designed by Tom Schenck. There's no curtain. I'm looking at a strip of duckboard across the front and a decking pontoon in the centre, raised up on struts above a channel that's about 3 metres wide. That channel is filled with several inches of water and suggests both a Venetian canal and the Adriatic, where children in sailor suits or all-in-one bathing costumes will be splashing in the shallows. Metal struts on the far side support jetties and mooring points, and the rear half of the stage is of smooth wood, creating the beach or a plaza or a street. The back wall is made of 8 panels of beaten metal that, depending on the lighting and time of day, shimmer with silvery moonlight or gleam like burnished copper, reflecting the rippling water of the canal. A square panel suspended in front of the back wall is a screen. At the moment, projected on it are identical textures to the panel, so it's more or less camouflaged completely. But as soon as we reach Venice, it shows projections of water. The screen can also pivot to present the rear side, a mirror directly reflecting the action on stage. If you're familiar with the novella, you'll know that Aschenbach is very much an observer. He has little interaction with other characters. Instead, the story concentrates on Aschenbach's internal monologue. Translating it into the operatic medium required Britten and his librettist Nathaniel Piper to be creative in their approach. Aschenbach effectively narrates his own story, and musically, Britten makes great use of piano recitative. Tonight's conductor, Richard Farnes.
I mean, he's done that before. He's done that in a lot of the chamber operas, Albert Herring, for example, and in The Turn of the Screw, it has a very extensive part. But here it's used both in the orchestra as a percussion instrument, but also for quite large passages of recitative. And I think the recitative is unusual here because it's not really sort of spoken recitative, it's thought recitative. It's more Aschenbach sort of musing. And I mean, if you imagine the problem that Britten and Piper were faced with when setting this novella to music, is that what is a stream of consciousness in the book has to be portrayed. I mean, the idea of dialogue, the sort of conventional things that you have in a play or an opera, are very difficult in a piece like this because it's essentially the thoughts of one man. So the recitative is a point where Aschenbach and the piano have a sort of dialogue with the audience. He's continually addressing the audience, and that's quite an unusual concept.
Conductor Richard Farnes. The action begins not in Venice, but in Aschenbach's native Germany, although a nod to Venice is given in this production from the start, before the music begins. Two young men in black shirts, calf-length black trousers, barefoot, appear, each carrying a long pole like a gondolier. They lay their poles down and sit cross-legged on the duckboard. A slim man in late middle age, dressed in a grey suit, overcoat and trilby, lays a funeral wreath. We think this is Aschenbach, but then Aschenbach himself appears. In fact, this man is Aschenbach's alter ego, a man of many parts, baritone Peter Savage.